I'm speaking to Claire Langan in the Green on Red Gallery, and her show Too Dark for Night is just about to open here. Claire, this is part of a trilogy that you're working on. This is the second piece. Mm-hmm. So could you explain to me about the background to this? You ended up in the desert in Namibia shooting this.
Yeah, it's after doing the first film, 40 Below, which was shot in Iceland and Ireland, and it was sort of set in an ice age and then the flood that followed, so it was all shot underwater. I decided I wanted to do something that, again, was working with extremes of climate, and I decided I wanted the complete opposite to the ice and the water. So I wrote a film treatment to do the next film in the desert, and part of that included shooting in a town that was disappearing into the sand. And I didn't know how I was going to create this, and I just came across, I went into Waterstones and started looking through books on the desert, and came across a town. It's a deserted diamond mining town in Namibia. And it actually was what I'd written about, so it was, and it existed, and I just researched into it, and it was actually accessible, and so we ended up going there, particularly to shoot that town.
And how did that work? Practically speaking, was it a better idea before you started?
Well, I didn't really know what I was taking on, and the shoot was very much a nightmare. It was really difficult because there was just three of us. There was myself, the cameraman, and a friend of mine who doubled as doing everything, including being in the film. And then we had someone to drive us, a Namibian person who, you know, knew the area. But really, it was actually a huge thing to take on, because, you know, just that amount of people with really large camera equipment. And also, I had gone out before in a few months earlier, and the problem was, when we were there the first time, it was really calm, and, you know, the weather was very, very different. When we went back the second time, the wind just didn't stop blowing from the moment we arrived, and it was just sandstorms. But in actual fact, that's ended up being the thing that makes, I think it really adds to the film. It's the main, you can see that the wind is the thing that forms the desert, and it's basically moving the sand, burying the houses, and you know, it just looks like the ground is alive, and that actually ended up working amazingly, but it would just make things very, very hard when we were there.
And the wind is also then the source of inspiration for the soundtrack that goes with it.
Yeah, I got Niall Byrne, who's a composer who mainly does feature films, to do the sound. And it was a real mixture of using real sound, like the sound of the wind, and using music as well, but using music more as a texture for the already existing sound. So it was something he hadn't done before, and it was a real challenge. And I think he did a really good job, because it was basically, I suppose, using real sound as instruments, I suppose you could say. And then I got Cattell Kynig to do a sort of singing over part of it, which was in a way to try and add like a more of a human element into the very isolated, desolate landscapes. So it's very much 50% sound. The sound, in a way, kind of creates or directs the emotional sort of landscape of the film. So, and because it's DVD, it's surround sound, and it's in an installation, the audience are actually in a specially built room with full surround sound. So the sound actually travels over your head and around you. So you very much feel like you're in the film.
In terms of the images, then, you make your own handmade filters, is that right? And all of the images then that are resultant in the film, they're not manipulated after they were shot?
No, they're not. I started in 1997. I had a show in the Gallery of Photography in Dublin called Track, and that in a way was the beginning of, you know, this whole body of work, the last film, 40 Below, and then this one. And I started making my own handmade filters then, and putting them in front of the lens, and so actually taking photographs on site that you were altering them. So what you ended up with on the film was what you shot when you were there. So once I went into the darkroom, you know, I didn't change anything. So that led me to making them specifically for film, for using with 16mm cameras. So there was a lot of it. There's a lot of experimentation involved, and in a way, it's a bit like painting every single frame that you shoot. I'd have a lot of different filters made up, and you know, I had to try a lot of different things before we got it right. And for each shot, we have to set up the filter in front of it, put all sorts of stuff in front of the camera then as well. So it takes a lot to set up a shot. But once it's on the film, it's there, that's it. And it's just, that's how it is in the finished film. It's not changed in the post-production.
And can you see when you're shooting it, or do you have to wait until it's all come out the other end, whether or not it's the way you wanted it to be?
No, you can see it. It looks slightly different, but no, you get a very good idea. I mean, it really is trial and error. It's a bit like reinventing the wheel. You think you're getting something right, and then that comes back and it's all wrong, but there's something else that's actually really good. So I think I've figured out the way that language works, and to a certain extent that was easier in this film than it was in 40 Below, because 40 Below was the first time using the filters with 16mm. But having said that, we certainly shot a lot of stock for a 10-minute film in the rate, because you have to take into account that some of what you do is not going to work. But definitely setting up the shots, what you see is hopefully what you get.
How much did you shoot?
I think it was about 4 hours of 16 Super 16 film. So that's quite a lot of film for 10-minute film.
And this project was part funded by the Film Board, which is interesting because it seems to be a new move for the Film Board in that this is a piece of art. It's not a drama or a narrative as such.
Yeah, I mean, it's funded half and half by Arts Council and Film Board. And in a way, I think it was a new move for the Film Board to fund this kind of project, because they probably would have done more drama and documentary in the past, and I think in a way it was a challenge for them to fund something that didn't have a narrative structure and that is aiming at galleries and museums and film festivals. And I think they seem to be opening out to funding more of that kind of project.
Have you got an idea of what you're going to do for the third one in this trilogy?
I don't really know exactly what it's going to be, because in a way, I need to sort of let this one sink in and see as a trilogy where the third one, what it would be. Because I think you set out to make something, and in a way, it does end up being a little bit different. It's because writing something like this on paper and then the end result, they are different. And yeah, I mean, I am working with extremes of climate, so there's a huge area. That there's a lot of different things I could use, but I really have to think about which to choose next. But yeah, I do want to make so there's a set of three films that you could walk into a museum and pass from one environment into the next, so the one extreme of climate into the next. So
okay, and you have a show at the RHA next year, and you're hoping that you might have all three of them ready for that point.
Yeah, I would like to think that I'd have the third one done for that. In fact, I will have it done. I just don't know exactly what it's going to be.
Okay, and this one, this show is actually going on to Chicago.
Yeah, it's on here in the Green and Red, I think, until the 3rd of March, and then on the 23rd of March it opens in the Vedanta Gallery in Chicago, which are a multimedia gallery, and it sort of leads up to the Chicago Art Fair, so hopefully it will be pretty good exposure. And it's my first show in the States, so looking forward to that.
Okay, well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.